Good morning. Obviously, it's cold and many not here this morning. We pray they have an opportunity to see us this morning on Facebook, either live or later on today on our website. There was a young woman who stood before a room full of people to speak on the subject of stress management. And she didn't begin with charts or with diagrams or with definitions of things. Instead, she simply lifted a simple glass of water up, held it up where everybody could see. Most of the audience began to smile to themselves. They kind of assumed where this was going. They expected that she was going to ask the familiar question, is this glass half full or half empty? But she surprised them. She said, "How heavy is this glass of water?" Someone out there hollered out, "Oh, 8 ounces. Someone else, 12 ounces. Someone said, "No, 20 ounces. And on it went. She smiled and said, "The absolute weight of this glass doesn't matter. What matters is how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute, it's no problem. If I hold it for an hour, my arm begins to ache. And if I hold it all day long, my arm turns numb and I need medical attention." Weight never changed. But the longer I held it, the heavier it seemed to become. And she then made her point. "That's how stress works," she says. "If we carry our burdens constantly, sooner or later, we're not going to be able to carry them at all. We have to put the weight down to rest. And then we can pick it up again." That image lingers with us because that presents to us something that I think is deeply human, in that we know what it feels like to carry something longer than we were meant to carry it. Burden didn't change, but we did. Situation didn't grow heavier, but our strength just seemed to grow weaker. The problem did not multiply, but our endurance slowly disappeared. Many of us are not holding the glass of water for an hour. Many of us are holding the glass of water through restless nights and through anxious mornings and through strained conversations and quiet fears, through long seasons where relief seems far away. Sometimes we come to church holding an invisible glass of water. We can't see it, but you might be carrying it. Parent holding worry over a child that seems to have wandered far from the faith. Maybe a husband or a wife who is holding the weight of a fragile marriage. Maybe it's a family holding the slow ache of an illness that affects them all. Maybe it's a believer that is heavy with unanswered prayer questions. And we hold them so tightly that our hands grow tired and our hearts grow heavy. One of the most misunderstood truths about stress is this. Stress is not always caused by something that is added. Often it is caused by something never being released. We tend to think of stress as something that comes upon us quick. And yes, a phone call in the night, a diagnosis from a doctor, a loss that we didn't expect. Yes, those are stressful. And, And sometimes that's true, but often stress is slow. It's quiet. It's the steady weight of something that we have been holding on to for years. So I look in the scriptures for support of what I'm talking about this morning. David comes to mind. I think he understood this. In Psalm 38, David doesn't sound like a man who is facing a momentary trial. He sounds like a man who's been carrying something for a very long time. If you're in Psalm 38, look at verse 4. It declares, "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Notice the language that David uses here, as if he's drowning. His burden is not merely touching him. It is encompassed over his head like floodwaters. He's submerged. Now we think of David, we think of the fearless little guy that's standing there with his sling and before, you know, that great big guy called Goliath. We remember a king who danced before the Lord and wrote all of those songs of praise that we enjoy reading. But the scripture also shows a man who carried deep personal stress. Wonder what it was like to carry the guilt of what he had done in the sin with Bathsheba. I wonder what it was like to carry the grief of burying his infant son or carrying the heartbreak of a son, Absalom, who betrayed him and tried to steal the crown from him. What was the weight of leading a divided and very restless nation? I'm sure there were nights when David was wide awake, not because the crown was heavy, but because the responsibility of being God's chosen king was heavier than he ever imagined it could be. And stress often grows in these kinds of quiet places. Unspoken fears that we never speak about, never share. Unresolved conflict that we never take the time to address. Guilt we never confess. Grief we never process. Responsibilities we never release. It's kind of like the glass of water illustration. The burden itself doesn't change, but over time, our strength fades and our patience thins and our joy just slowly drains away. David wasn't the only one. Isaiah captures this reality. If you have your Bibles, it's found over in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. I want to look at verse 30. It says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." In other words, if strength alone could solve stress, then the strongest among us would never struggle. But the strong, even the young who are strong, grow tired. Even those that are capable grow weary. Even the faithful reach moments where the glass just seems too heavy to care. I think one of the clearest biblical principles of long-term stress is found in the life of Moses. By the time we meet Moses in Exodus chapter 18, he's no longer standing before Pharaoh and performing those great miracles. He's not standing at the Red Sea with his staff and parting the waters. He's doing something, I guess you could say, a lot less dramatic and a lot more draining. He's listening to people. From morning until evening, Moses sits as a judge, as a counselor, as a mediator, as a problem solver for the entire nation, the children of Israel. Former slaves are lined up outside his tent with complaints and disputes and with fears and with questions. And just imagine the scene. Mother frustrated with her neighbor. Man angry over his property rights. Some family confused about what God's laws really mean. A tribe that's said over the leadership that has been chosen. And every single issue comes to Moses. And it seems like the line never ends. Now, Moses is doing God's work. He's serving God's people. He's walking in obedience. But he has been holding the cup so long that he is beginning to tire. It's wearing himself down. And his father-in-law, Jethro, watches him. If you're still with me in Exodus chapter 18, let's look together at verses 17 and 18. The thing you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. That's Jethro's father-in-law watching Moses. I think it's one of the most honest assessments in all of Scripture. Jethro doesn't say Moses is sinning. He doesn't even question his calling. Or he's just pointing out a dangerous reality that you're carrying more than one man is able to carry. Moses is holding the glass all day long, day after day, and it's slowly crushing him. So Jethro gives him wise wisdom. Share the load. Train others. Trust others. Let go of the idea that everything depends upon you. And here's the lesson for us. Some of our stress is not spiritual attacks. Some of our stress is not lack of our faith. Some of our stress is simply the result of trying to do everything for everyone all of the time. And we're holding the glass that is meant to be set down, handed off, carried together with someone else. If stress only followed fatigue, we might understand it. But sometimes stress also follows success. Elijah's story reminds us of that. You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? Elijah called down from God fire from heaven against hundreds of the false prophets. And the people fall down on their faces and they say, Lord, he is God. But it's one of the greatest moments of spiritual triumph that we see in the Old Testament. But what does Elijah do after that great success? He says he runs. He runs. Queen Jezebel had threatened his life. The bold prophet flees into the wilderness and he collapses beside a tree and he gives a desperate prayer. And if you want to find it, it's over in the book of 1 Kings in chapter 19, verse 4. And it's real simple. He says, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. A man goes from calling down fire from heaven to saying, take my life. Why? Because he's been carrying the glass too long. The emotional strain of standing alone, the spiritual pressure of confronting a whole nation, the physical exhaustion of constant movement and danger. And it all caught up with him at once. But notice how God responds. He doesn't scold Elijah. He doesn't correct him, say that's the wrong thing to do. He doesn't lecture him. He lets Elijah sleep. And he feeds Elijah. Gives him rest. Sometimes the most spiritual response to stress is not more activity. It is quiet restoration in the presence of God. Now, we live in a world full of tired hands. You have them, I have them, we all have them. Jesus speaks one of the most tender invitations ever recorded. Jay read it. It's over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not talking to the careless. He's not talking to the idle. He is talking to those people who are laboring. Those people who are genuinely trying, serving, carrying the weight for the Lord. I imagine these people that are listening to him are thinking of the stress that they have under the Roman government. I think they're maybe talking about the religious legalism that the Jews are still forcing upon them, about family responsibilities, just about survival, literally, from day to day. They knew what it meant to carry the glass of water a lot longer than they should. And Jesus doesn't offer them some system. He offers them himself. Look at the next verse, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, I don't know that much about farming 100 years ago when we had oxen. But I do understand that a yoke is meant to be carried by two. So Jesus isn't promising a life with no weight. He's simply saying, share the weight. Put a yoke upon you that requires someone else on the other side. Stress grows when we believe everything depends upon us. And rest begins when we accept that Jesus walks underneath the load with us. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what it says in verse 30, the next verse. The burden becomes lighter not because the burden is lighter. The burden becomes lighter because we no longer carry it alone. It becomes easier to pull the plow because my partner is actually carrying more of the weight than I'm carrying because he's a lot stronger oxen than I am. If there was ever a moment when Jesus was carrying something truly heavy, a cup if you will, it had to be when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that. He knows the cross is coming. He knows that betrayal is near. He knows that the weight of the world's sin is going to be upon him. So what does he do? If you go over to Matthew 26, verse 37, he says, then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Even Jesus, in his humanity part, chose not to carry that weight at that moment alone. He takes his two best friends with him. And he asked them to pray. This was his prayer in verse 39 of Matthew 26. O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Notice the language that Jesus used. Let this cup. There's a vessel to be held. The weight that he's carrying. He doesn't deny the burden. Doesn't pretend that it's going to be light. He brings it honestly before the Father. And in that verse, I think we learn something deeply important about handling stress biblically. Faith does not mean that we're pretending that the glass is empty. Faith means trusting God with the weight of what's inside the glass. Jesus shows us that surrender is not weakness, it's obedience. Rest is not escape. It is trust. When we kneel, we're not dropping responsibility. We're placing it in the hands of someone far stronger than we are. And when we rise again, we rise strengthened, not because the burden vanished, but because we no longer carry it alone. Paul knew what it was to reach the limit of human strength. He writes about it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He says, we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Paul was exhausted. He admits that there were seasons when the glass he was carrying was heavier than his hands could hold. Then in the next verse he tells us what God was teaching him. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Remember Paul, he'd later plead to see if God would take the thorn that he had in his flesh away from him. God's answer was no. He didn't remove it. But in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul learned that stress becomes destructive when it drives us inwardly, but it becomes redemptive when it drives us upwardly. Jesus speaks directly to our hearts in Matthew 6:25. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Worry is not the same as responsibility. Responsibility acts. Worry just tries to control what can't be controlled. And so Jesus points to the birds and to the lilies out there and says, your life is simple. Even amid your worrying against your burden, that cup that you carry, I'm still quietly taking care of all of my great creation. Peter gives us the posture of relief found over in 1 Peter 5:7. He says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Cast all your cares, Peter's saying, upon the Lord. Many of us pray about our burdens. But do we ever cast our burdens? Do we ever open our hands? Do we ever hand them off? From the very beginning of time, God built into the structure of life rest. Go back to the very beginning, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work and he rested." I read that and I say, was God tired? No, I don't think God was tired. But I think he knew we would be tired. Jesus echoes this rhythm with his disciples in Mark 6:31. He says, "Come aside by yourselves and rest a while." Rest is not weakness. It's trust. It's the quiet confession that God is still at work even when we stop working. The power of the illustration of the water and the glass is not the glass. The power of the illustration is the hand that holds the glass. In the moment when we finally set the glass down and open our hands and remove them from the glass, our stress will begin to subside. Some of you are holding stress. Fear you never meant to hold. Responsibility that should be shared. Guilt that needs to be confessed. Grief that needs some rest. Future that belongs to God, not belong to you. Weight hasn't changed, but you're tired. Jesus said, "Come to me. I will give you rest." Put the glass down. Even for a moment. Let the Lord, let God help you carry the load. This morning we're going to sing the song of invitation. We invite you to come to Christ through faith, through the repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you need to be baptized, let's arrange to do that today, even if the water's cold. Come if you will as we stand and sing.